When America was founded, she was strong and pure and good. And her leaders on their knees were not ashamed to call on God. But our nation in her pride has turned her back upon the right. And the clouds of evil threaten to turn glory into night. Strong wickedness has crept in like a cold and bloody thief. Those who know the Lord and do His word stand by in disbelief. For the love of God and country, we must not cease for a day. For the future of our children, we must lift our hearts and pray. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide.
God's enemy is hard at work, undermining everywhere, breaking down foundations, twisting laws and setting snares. He would take away our freedom and replace it with despair. And he laughs at those opposing him as if they were not there.
But God's children cannot sit by. We must stand up and defend. For the battle is not over till our King declares the end. We must work and fight and meet Him, not as those who beat the air. For the greatest weapon in our hands is strong and fervent prayer. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide. Shore, and it seems that all ungodliness is knocking at our door. We must never give up hope. We must not let them win the war. We must plead with Him who has the power to cleanse and to restore. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide gates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide.
Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter number 15. At this time, we're going to dismiss our young people back to junior church. If you're normally back in junior church, you can go ahead and head back there, or you can stay here and listen to me preach. All right, whatever you'd like to do. I see a bunch of them are leaving. All right. Okay, John chapter number 15 this morning. It is time to turn the tide in our nation. Our nation has gone adrift, and certainly it is going the wrong way. John chapter number 15, beginning in verse number 13. I want to read just one verse to you this morning. Jesus said this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's bow for a prayer. Lord, we are a needy people. And Lord, we are in need of thy presence and thy power. And Lord, our nation has turned its back on you. And Lord, our nation needs revival. We ask and pray, Lord, that you would stir the hearts of the American citizenship. And Lord, I pray that you'd turn their hearts back to thee. Lord, I confess our sins, and Lord, I confess the fact that we have been cold and indifferent towards thee and the things of God. Awaken us, stir us, revive us, that this nation may once again glorify thee with the words that they speak and the actions that they take. I ask and pray, Lord, now that you just bless in a great way. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends, Jesus said. In 1776, Thomas Paine stated, "What we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. It is dearest only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a price on its goods, and if it would be a strange thing indeed if so celestial an article such as freedom should not be highly rated." From the very beginning of our nation, two great hands guided our formation. First was the hand of God's providence. Yes, God is sovereign and God is in control. The Bible states in Psalm 33 and verse number 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and a people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." All throughout our founding documents, from the Mayflower Compact of 1620 to the Declaration of Independence, the sovereignty and the providence of God was acknowledged and it was embraced. Our founding fathers took great care to see this great document ended with this phrase. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, fortunes, and our sacred honor. The second great hand that guided the formation and the continuation of this great nation that we have was the hand of sacrifice. As Thomas Paine said, "What we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly." And unfortunately, we are living in a day and an age when everybody expects someone to give them a handout. It's no wonder nothing is appreciated today. People talk about a free college education and free health care. There is no such thing as those things because someone has to pay for it. We need to understand that real success and real wealth of our nation and real blessings come through hard work and sacrifice. The hand that guided the formation of our country and that still guides our country, not only was the providence of God, but it was the hand of sacrifice of the individuals that came to our country to see this nation founded under the hand of God. For those who made their pilgrimage across the Atlantic Ocean, it took sacrifice. For those who endured the hardship of the colonies, with only a few for surviving that first harsh winter, it took sacrifice. For those who signed the Declaration of Independence, it took sacrifice. Of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, 5 were captured by the British and were tortured before they died. 12 had their homes sacked and looted and occupied by the enemy and then burnt. 2 had their sons die in the fledgling army. 9 of the signers died in the war, either from the bullets or from the hardships of the war. And may I remind you that these men were not poor individuals. These men were men of means. They were men of wealth. They were prosperous men. They were just not wild-eyed pirates. They were people that were bent on rebellion. But they were individuals that substantially were secure in their prosperity and were respected in their communities. But they were willing to lay it all on the line and lay all aside because they considered liberty much more important than the security that they enjoyed. Because of their great sacrifice and the blood that was shed, our nation was born. Great sacrifices continued to allow our nation to be free. From the beaches of Normandy to the Pearl Harbor, great sacrifices have been made. From the jungles of Korea and Vietnam to the hot sands of the Middle East, great sacrifice has been made. Our sons and our daughters have laid down their lives so that we can continue to worship, so that we can have the right to bear arms, that we can have the right to peaceably assemble, that we have the right to live our lives in peace and safety. Thank God for those who have given us that ability today. Amen. But as we assemble today, we must realize that the greatest sacrifice that ever took place did not take place between two countries or between two groups of people. The greatest sacrifice that was ever recorded took place almost 2,000 years ago when our Savior was hung between heaven and earth and he was crucified and nailed to that old rugged cross. And when the demons of hell fought against him and the soldiers of Rome nailed him there, and as the people of that area cried out, "Crucify him," the greatest battle was taking place. And this morning I want you to stop and think about the greatest battle that ever took place. And it was not a battle on a military field that took place as we would consider today. I was looking at some of the statistics of individuals that died in some of our wars. The Civil War, which was far from civil. Over 600,000 men and boys gave their lives. World War II, 425,000 plus men died in World War II. In World War I, a horrible number of men died, just under the amount for World War II. In Korea and Vietnam and the Gulf Wars, men had shed their lives and shed their blood and gave their lives. But yet the greatest sacrifice that was ever given was given on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ was despised. He was beaten. He was rejected. He was spit upon. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails. And then he had nails drove through his hands and his feet. And they mocked him as he hung there. And the crowds cried out, "He trusted in God, let God now deliver him, if he be the Son of God." They said, "If you, the Son of God, come down from the cross." I'm glad he didn't come down. I believe that what happened that day was the greatest sacrifice that ever took place. It was the greatest sacrifice ever recorded. You say, why was it the greatest sacrifice? Number one, it was the greatest sacrifice because it was a sacrifice once and for all. In John chapter number 19 and verse number 30, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he cried out these words, "It is finished." It was completed. The sacrifice was over. He paid the price for mankind's sins. Down through the ages, a lot of people have sacrificed for a lot of things. I think of my dad. My dad went home to be with the Lord in 2007. My dad was a hard worker.
I never remember a day when my dad took off work just for fun. He worked 12 and 16 hours a day to make sure that we had food on the table. I never remember going hungry. We always had food. We always had a roof over our head. I didn't have all the things that I desired in life, but one thing my dad taught me was how to work hard. And if I wanted to have something, I needed to learn to work for it. I thank God for that. I think that as he went off to World War II and he was in the South Pacific, I think of the sacrifice that he made, just newly married and my mom being expecting. He never got a chance to see his firstborn son until he was about a year and a half old. That took sacrifice. He worked hard and provided, never calling off work as far as I know. All that he ever worked for, he worked hard for and he sacrificed for. My dad wasn't a perfect dad. But everything he had, I don't remember a single person that ever handed him anything. He worked hard for it. But I want you to know this morning, all the labors that we can do and all the sacrifice that you can make and all the difficulties you can go through to put your kids through college and to make sure that you raise your families right, that is not the greatest sacrifice that has ever taken place. What Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, that is the greatest sacrifice that ever took place. Why? Because he said it is finished. It is over. It is complete. There is no more sacrifices ever to be offered for sin. No more lambs to be slain. For the perfect lamb had paid the price for all. In Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27 and 28, the Apostle Paul said, "And as it is written, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin unto salvation." No more lambs ever had to be sacrificed. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, showing that now we have access to God. He was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. It was the greatest sacrifice because it was once and for all. It was the greatest sacrifice also. Number two, because it was about freedom from the bondage of sin. In Genesis chapter number 2, we find that God made Adam and Eve, and God told them in verse number 17, he says, "You know, you can eat of everything in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof, because in the day thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." Satan came along and tempted Eve, and we know the story. She ate, and she gave to her husband, and he did eat. The Bible says, and the eyes of both of them were opened, and they saw that they were naked. And they feared God, and they hid themselves from God. By the way, that's what sin will always do. Sin will always make us guilty before God. Sin will always make us ashamed before God. And sin will always want to make us hide from God. But God had a solution. God took an animal. I believe it was a lamb. And slew that animal and he clothed Adam and Eve. I don't believe that he washed those animals' hides before he put them on. I think the blood ran down their arms and dripped off of them as they were covered with the blood. I believe that they were probably horrified when they saw the blood and they saw everything that was done. I believe it terrified them and it horrified them, thinking this is the first time they ever saw death. And now they're experiencing the result of sin. It was the greatest sacrifice that Jesus ever made. because it was about the freedom from the bondage of sin. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. It was a sacrifice like no other. You know, Abel offered a great sacrifice. Hebrews 11:4 says that it was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. But it was not the greatest sacrifice. Abraham offered a great sacrifice, and he took his son Isaac up on Mount Moriah. And after God says, I want you to take thy son, thine only son, and offer him to me as a burnt offering, Abraham went. He prepared the altar and laid his son there, and he drew the knife and was ready to slay his own son, and God stopped him. And God prepared a ram, and it was caught in the thicket, and the Bible says he offered up the ram in the stead, or in other words, in place of his son. It pointed to what Jesus Christ did for us. It reminds us of what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus Christ, when he said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. It was the greatest sacrifice because it was freedom from the bondage of sin. Not all sacrifices are accepted before God. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. Those worshiping the golden calf, their sacrifice was not accepted. The prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter number 18, as they danced around their altar, it was not accepted by God. No human sacrifice, no sacrifice that any of us will ever make will compare to what Jesus Christ did for us. I want you to look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 10. And I want you to do a little Bible study with me this morning. And I've used this passage of Scripture over and over and over, and you probably got it memorized by now. But I want you to see the importance of this verse, and I want you to see the impact of this verse for you as a child of God. In 2 Corinthians 1:10, the Bible says, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. I want you to notice that very first word, who. This is talking about the work of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, who delivered us from so great a death. You see, the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us on the cross of Calvary was the greatest sacrifice because he delivered us from the penalty of our sin. Who? Jesus Christ. That's who. Not the president of our United States, not some military leader, not some world leader, but the Lord Jesus Christ, who delivered us from so great a death. Under that phrase, so great a death, you ought to put a note in your Bible and write the penalty of sin. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for us. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. Both Old Testament and New Testament tells us that there is a penalty because of our sin. In Psalm 9, verse number 17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. In Revelation chapter number 21, and verse number 8, it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm so glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm so glad that Jesus Christ saved my soul. I don't have to worry about that. Why? Because he delivered me from so great a death. Death had taken place in all of our lives.
As Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12, whereas by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Today you're here and you are two different things. You are a sinner by choice and a sinner by birth. And both will send you to hell.
Say, preacher, I came here to church to get encouraged and now you're going to tell me I'm going to go to hell? If you die as a sinner. Yes. If you die without Jesus Christ, yes. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He delivered us from the penalty of sin. The Bible also says there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 10, and doth deliver. You ought to write in the margin of your Bible there, he delivers us from the power of sin every day as we yield ourselves to him. Listen, if you're struggling with a vice, if you're struggling with alcohol, or you're struggling with tobacco, or you're struggling with lying, or you're struggling with pornography, or some other sin that's holding you captive, I'm here to tell you, if you will daily yield yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, he can deliver you from that. Amen? And doth deliver. You say, well, how does he give me that power? Well, number one, he gives us that power through his word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. He gives us that power by that divine nature that he gives us according to 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 4. That we might escape the corruption that is the world through lust. Besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Then he lists all those Christian graces. He gives us the spiritual armor that we can overcome. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all, to stand. Listen, as a child of God, he has made us a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He has made us accepted in the beloved, Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 6. He has given us the Holy Spirit of God, John chapter 16, verse number 13, to equip us, to give us victory. You see, he can deliver us from the power of sin. All of this happened when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And one day he's going to deliver us from the presence of sin altogether. It says there in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10, who delivered us from so great a death. That's the penalty. And doth deliver. That is the power. And in whom we trust, he will yet deliver us. That's the presence. One day when the trumpet sounds and calls us home to glory, I'm going to leave this old sinful world and this old body that has a tendency to sin. We'll never sin again because this corruptible will put on incorruption. And this mortal will put on immortality. Listen, there is coming a day when every child of God will be made perfect and whole and complete. You'll never have to worry about temptation again. You'll never have to worry about slipping up. Amen? Because one day, all of that's going to pass away. I want you to notice, the Bible says he's going to deliver us from sin. One day the lamb and the lion is going to feed together, all because sin is going to be put away. One day all wars are going to pass away, and we won't have to worry about Memorial Day services anymore. In Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 4 it says, and he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. The Bible says, nations shall not lift up sword against nation. The Bible says that they'll not learn war anymore. Well, won't that be a blessed time? Amen? Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 4, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow nor crying, for neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You see, Jesus Christ made this possible because of the great sacrifice. It was the greatest sacrifice because it was once and for all. It was the greatest sacrifice because it allowed us freedom from the bondage of sin. But it was the greatest sacrifice because it was about the eternal souls of men. You know, there are some groups that have been fighting for thousands of years. And regardless of our diplomacy,
they're going to continue to fight until the Prince of Peace shows up. That's right.
skirmishes and there are wars against people, it's just going to keep on going and going. America, let me just pause for a moment. Let me put my 2 cents worth in. We've got enough problems here in America. Yeah. Then we need to start focusing on America and fixing the problems here before we can fix the problems overseas. Amen. I'm just saying, listen, America is in deep trouble.
And if America falls apart and ceases to exist, we will not be able to help any other nation. We need to understand today that the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made was about the eternal souls of men. That's more important than any line drawn in the sand someplace. Any governmental boundaries that they have or boundaries between countries. You know what really messed me up? I had to learn all of those countries over in Europe and over in the Middle East when I was in high school. And half of them have changed. Some of those countries don't even exist anymore. And as time goes on, some of them will be consumed by other countries and some of them will break forth and have rebellion and they'll create new countries, and that's just the way it is. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 24 would happen. But we need to understand that it's the greatest sacrifice, because it was about the eternal souls of men. Not about boundaries, international boundaries. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." That's why Christ came. In Luke 19:10, the Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And all of mankind is lost without God. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 4, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." In 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 9, it says, "The Lord's promise is not slack as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 9, it said, "By the grace of God, he should taste death for every man." By the grace of God, Brother Troy, Jesus Christ tasted death for you. And by the grace of God, he tasted death for me. And Doug, he tasted death for you, and he tasted death for me. And all of you that are here today, listen, Jesus Christ, by the grace of God, tasted death. He endured the cross, and he died a sinner's death in your place and in mine. You see, it's not about the lines in the sands or international boundaries. It was not about freedom of oppression from ruthless dictators. It was about the sacrifice of Christ that made an eternal difference in those who put their faith and trust in him. Let me give you 4 quick facts and I'm going to close. Fact number 1. It doesn't make any difference who you are here today. Life is short. It's very brief. I don't care how young you are or how old you are, you need to understand this. Life is brief. 30 years ago, my wife and children came up to Oak Harbor. I was 28 years old. Yeah, now you know how old I am. You can do the math. My youngest son was 3.5 years old. John was 3.5. Jeremy was just ready to turn 6. And Jessica was about 8.5. And now they're all married. All have families. 13 grandchildren and a lot of gray hair later. Amen. By the way, I don't care if it turns gray as long as it don't turn loose. That's what I'm concerned about. But one thing is for sure, life is short and it's very uncertain. James chapter 4 and verse number 14 says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, vanisheth away. Solomon said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I want you to understand that this sacrifice is about the eternal souls of men, and you need to realize that life is very short and very uncertain. Fact number two. Each and every one of you will be somewhere forever. Each and every one of us will be somewhere forever. 100 years from now, you're going to be in eternity. And what should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. We need to understand that Jesus Christ came here and it was all about the eternal souls of men. It's either heaven or hell. I hate to break it to you, there is no such thing as purgatory. There is no such thing as limbo. Those are man-made doctrines by people that want to bilk money out of people that don't understand the Bible. And historically, that's how they were founded. You do a study on it. Fact number three. Number one, life is short and uncertain. Number two, you will be somewhere forever. Heaven or hell, there is no middle ground. Fact number three, God loved each and every one of you enough to die for you. That's a fact. Someone asked, well, how much did Jesus really love me? He loved you this much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what type of life? Everlasting life. Fact three, God loves you so much, he sent Jesus to die in your place. Fact number four, he has given you the final orders. The final orders to carry out. In Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30, the Bible says, and at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but commandeth all men everywhere now to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. God has given us our final orders. And that final order is that all men everywhere should repent. They need to turn from their sin and turn to the Savior. The greatest sacrifice ever recorded was planned and fulfilled by God Himself. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, into this world to live a sinless life and to die a sinner's death. The sins of mankind has been paid for. But the question is, have you received his payment? In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6 and 7, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and our God, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was the greatest sacrifice because it was about somewhere. I would challenge you and I would encourage you, find refuge at the foot of the cross. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I would encourage you to make sure that you come to Christ
today. Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed, and every eye closed. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come today. Let someone show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven, that heaven is your home. Today, if you know Christ as your Savior, why not rededicate your life to Him? Maybe you're here today and you're in need of prayer. I invite you to come. Maybe you're being overwhelmed with the burdens of life. Why don't you come? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Father in heaven, Lord, I do ask and pray that you just help each and every one that's here today. Help us realize today that you provided the greatest sacrifice that is ever made, that was ever planned, the greatest sacrifice in giving of your Son. I pray, Lord, now that you'd bless this invitation, we give it to Thee. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for His sake.